Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, it's kind of fitting here this morning. It's funny because the weather and everything, and I didn't plan this, but God did. Okay, I didn't know what the weather was going to be like, but the title of my message is To Everything There Is a Season. And I thought it was kind of funny because I ended up writing it in the beginning of the week, and at the end of the week, we're still in that season. But anyway, but it was kind of funny because, you know, it kind of goes along with what we're all going through. We would really love it if winter was over, right? But winter is hanging on. But there's a lesson here for us today that I, you know, that particular application I wasn't thinking of, to be honest with you. But it does fit, and it helps with your attitude also, you know, that sometimes we get a little we complain or we've become complacent at different times. But, you know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's pray first, then we'll get right into it. Father, Lord, please help us here today. Thank you for safety. Please give Brother Scott safety as he travels, Lord. And we're so grateful for his dedication to the Lord. And, Lord, we pray that you just bless him, take care of him, Lord. And, Lord, bless this message. And, Lord, may it be used for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says this: to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I want you to think about that for a minute as we continue to read, but just think about that thought for a minute. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So, you know, the Bible gives us a lot of comparisons there of different of special times or seasons that there are. And I think about, you know, sometimes God opens doors for us and we have to go through those doors and accomplish what God wants us to while it is day and while it is time to do those things that God has given us to do. And there are other times that God closes doors and does, and it's a time for us not to try to go through a door that is closed, that He has closed, but it's time for us to have patience and to wait on Him. And, you know, that's a lesson that we all have to learn. It's a lesson in patience. It's a lesson in trusting God through those things. And we're going to kind of explain that today a little bit. One man said it this way. He said, so he concludes that only God, who appoints the seasons that demand opposite courses of conduct, can understand what it all means. You know, from our view under heaven, we have this idea of why everything happens, or that something should happen that doesn't happen. And we have this understanding in our minds, in our lives, that we think, well, we know best, and this should happen this way. And God decides that it's not going to happen that way. He's already determined that it will not happen that way. And you and I have to accept those determinations that God has for us. We have to be happy, and we have to be at peace with whatever God decides to do. Because the engine driver knows why he reverses his engine, and not the wheels that are running in opposite directions in consecutive moments according to His will. Now, that is a one-sided view, of course, for it is to be remembered that the book of Ecclesiastes is the logbook of a voyager after truth. His whole life, his whole purpose of writing that book, the preacher's purpose of writing that was to find truth, right? To come to truth. And he tells us all of the wanderings and the errors of his thinking. He shows us and he walks us through how he erred in his thinking and his thoughts and in his actions and what he had done. And it teaches us a lot of lessons to watch the wisest man in the world mess up so many times in his thinking. He tells us of all the wanderings and the errors of his thinking until he has arrived at the haven of conclusion that he announces in the final word. The sum of the whole matter. After he writes all of those things under the sun, right? What does he come to? The conclusion of the whole matter is what? Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. After it's all said and done, no matter what it is in your life, no matter what it is that you accomplish, no matter what it is that the quest is, the end game, the total sum of your life ought to be fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Now, in that means that there's a lot of things that we'll accomplish in life, being a good father, being a good husband, being a good mother, being a good worker, whatever it is that God has for us, we'll accomplish all those things, right? But those are just fruit. That is just fruit of the root of the matter, which is to fear God and keep his commandments. Amen. He goes on, the preacher goes on to say this, I have nothing to do just now with the conclusion which he arrives at, but the facts from which he starts are significant and important. There are things in life that God has so arranged it, which can only be done fittingly, and for the most part of all, at certain seasons. And the secret of success is the discernment of present duty and the prompt performance of it. Look, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever it is, the duty that you have in front of you to accomplish, you must accomplish that and finish the task that is set at hand. That's life. That's what it means to be successful in life, is what the duty is that comes before you, and not to get sidetracked by anything else, but accomplish that which you have to do. Right? I thought about a lot of things. I'll give you an example of this, and I'm going to give you a huge outline here that will take all day. But anyway, but think about this for a second. I was thinking this week, and you know how every week is so much different than the week before in a lot of ways. You know, I'm a creature of habit. Like, I like having my own, you know, habits down the things that I do. You know, I get up on Friday morning. I get up early. I get up at 6 o'clock or whatever, and I go. And that's not early for some of you, but it is for me because I go to bed late. But anyway, but my shift's a little different when I'm studying and doing different things. But, you know, I get up early, and I go, and I study my Bible, and I read, and I, you know, get my day started out Friday. I like to do that on Sunday mornings really early too as well. But I do that, and I have this set kind of plan. And during the week, I have this kind of set thing that I've organized. Well, this last week, everything was turned around. I mean, the week before that, I had put in 30 hours of studying, straight studying. The week before that was like 30. I mean, doing this whole Jehovah's Witness series and all that, just hours and hours and hours. And I thought about all that, and then, boom, this week, something else hits me. I've got another duty and a task that's set before me that I have to get done. And in my mind, as a man, you struggle with that. You think, well, wait, last week I was doing all this, and I was putting all this study in, and I was doing all this. And man, this week I'm not, and it's not the same thing, and it's different. And I start thinking, man, am I failing in this way because I'm not accomplishing what I did the week before in this way? And you know, the Lord hit me with this and said, no, there's a season for everything. There is a season. And when you have a duty to do that is before you, you accomplish that which is before you. And not every season is the same. And some seasons will end and it will not last forever. So there are things that you have to accomplish during the time when you can't accomplish them. And that was this thing. So this week when you saw me run around like a mad hatter trying to get everything done, to beat this blizzard that was coming, there was a reason. Right? There was a season that something needed to be done. And I had to focus my attention on that. There are times in your life where there are going to be seasons where you need to focus more on your family than you do on your job. That you're going to need to focus more on you know, your children and raising them and teaching them and guiding them and directing them when they need it more. There are times that I will concentrate more as a pastor on this church than I do on other things. There are times when we will concentrate more on evangelism than we will on some other things that are out there to do. There are times that we may concentrate more on doing some things on the internet than we do at other times. To everything there is a season. And wisdom picks up on that, and maturity does, and you see that, and you say, you know what, no, this is the time for that. Yeah, but I'm thinking about all these other things. Shouldn't I be doing? No, you should be doing exactly what's in front of you. There are a lot of people that want to go charge hell with a squirt gun and rebuke everybody in this world, but they don't want to do the plain path to do the things that are in front of them to do. I wouldn't give you a gob of spit for somebody that doesn't want to do to accomplish the responsibilities that they have right in front of them instead of wanting to go fight some imaginary battles they want to fight in their own mind. but they can't simply provide for their family and do what's right. But they want to go fight in some other way. The Bible says to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And for the most part, all at certain seasons, and the secret of success is the discernment of present duty and the prompt performance of it. As fathers, we have to teach our sons and our children, our daughters too as well, and mothers have to do this too, but we teach our families. Now look, no, son, this is the task that you have to do. Right? Accomplish the task that you've been given. And don't be distracted. You know, boys and men, by the way, have a tendency to dawdle and not perform the duties. You know. It's like, don't ask me to do that again. I told you a month ago I'd do it. Right, Dave? You're supposed to hang that picture up like a month ago. And you say to Becca, no, Becca. You asked me to do that a month ago. I told you I'd do it. No, just drop it. Right? Becca's like, I'm not tall enough. I can't reach it. You better get a ladder then. No, I'm just kidding. But so I just made that up. That wasn't real. But that was ad lib. It was pretty good. I don't think, was it real? I'm starting to wonder if it was real, Dave. It'd be weird if it was. I'd be like, whoa. They honestly, I promise they didn't tell me that. Right? I hope. Like going back, they didn't tell me anything about that. No, I'm kidding. But there are things. Now listen to this. This is important. I like what this man says here. He says, and this is especially true about your time of life, my young friends. Listen to this. Children, young men growing up, young girls growing up, even our young men here that are men that are striving to do what's right. There are things, very important things, which unless you do them now, the overwhelming probability is that you will never do it at all. Right. And the certainty is that you will not do them half as well. And the preacher goes on to say, and so I want to ask you to look at these words, which by a legitimate extension of the writer's meaning, and take them in a kind of parabolic way, and you may sum up for us the whole of the special duties. You know, think about that, okay? As we go through these things, we're going to go through that list in a minute, but the first thing I want to talk to you about is when he says here, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, this first speaks to God Almighty and his providence. You know, if you and I are not careful, we will lose sight that God is in control of all things. And it's easy to say, but it's a lot harder to live. All right? It's easy to say when the sun is shining and everything is going your way and there's not a blizzard outside, right? Come on. It's easy to say when the kids are quiet, when the bills are paid, when there's plenty of food in the refrigerator and the freezer, the kids aren't sick. The sun is shining. It's warm outside. Right? It's warm. Right? Amen. But it's a lot harder to live when you actually experience it. When you have to actually experience it and say, you know what, Lord, you're right. Man, even though this is terrible right now, you're right, God. You're still on the throne. You're still in charge. Amen? And you know where I'm at. I thought about this week. It hit me after I was done, like, you know, going like crazy on, what was it, Thursday, Joshua? We went nuts. We started out early and I just kept going. 13 hours that day or something like that. I worked like a Pepsi guy almost, man. I was waiting to get my T-shirt. Right? I almost earned one, didn't I? Man, 13 and a half hours, man. I almost earned one, didn't I? At least a Pepsi. But, anyway. But I started thinking about that. I was like, what in the world am I doing? Yeah, I looked around an empty house. I was like, what in the world am I doing? What was I thinking? Right? What am I thinking? I'm like, oh, well. Yeah. Yeah, just driven and focused. I'm thinking, but man, I mean, like this is a step of faith. Amen. You know, it's a step of faith because you have to trust the Lord. Where are you going to live? I don't know. I don't know. Right now I know where I'm living. So I thank God for that. Amen. Right? I don't know where I'm going to live. Right? Where are you going to land? I don't know. I have no idea. Half of me's at Ryan's house. The other... Right? But I thank God that God put people here to help. I thank God that He put people here, and that I trust the Lord that the timing was His. You know? And that it was smooth. Right? Amen. I'll tell you what. I can tell that it wasn't prompted by myself because it went too smooth. It all went way too smooth to be, yeah, and like, done. And I'm sitting around like, whoa. Amen. Right? Because God's still on the throne. Turn to Psalm 90, please. God, by His providence, governs the world and has determined particular things in operations to particular times. In those times, such things may be done with propriety and success. But if we neglect the appointed seasons, we sin against this providence and become the authors of our own distress. You know, sometimes you add distress on yourself because God's opened the door and you won't go through it. You won't step out by faith to go through that, but you will, you add to your own distress. You create your own distress by not trusting God when He's already done that. You know, sometimes God is, He has appointed things and it's like you've got to do it. You've got to trust Him. You've got to go through it. Right? You've got to go through it. Psalm 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. This illustrates God's providence. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. You know, God knows exactly where you're at. God dwells in eternity. Time is not a surprise to God. Nothing that happens in time, listen, nothing, you know, we say this saying sometimes, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? And that's very true. Nothing has ever occurred to God. God didn't just go, oh, I didn't know that. Well, that shocked me. Well, that was a surprise. Do you understand that God doesn't work that way? God's not surprised by anything. Amen? That's right, Brother Giannis, right? God's not surprised you're here today, brother. And neither was I when I seen that storm. I said, I'm going to see Giannis Sunday morning. Amen. Well, we're glad you're here, brother. I was hoping you weren't. Honestly, brother, I was hoping your plane wasn't leaving. Because it was making me awful nervous. I was thinking about you being in that plane in the middle of that storm. I was like, that is not good. When somebody said, Hannah said that I think she texted Luba or something like that, and Luba said something about that was the only plane that was leaving. I was like, uh-oh. I don't want to go on that plane. Look, this is the start of like a bad movie, all right? There was only one plane that left the airport. Uh-oh. Let's just stay on the ground. Right? Let's just stay on the ground until all of them are able to leave. I feel more comfortable with that. Well, praise the Lord. God knows. Amen. God's not surprised by that. You know, we say, well, we're supposed to be somewhere at some time. Well, if the Lord wills. Remember that that's what we're supposed to say because we don't know. Right? We can plan something, but God is the one that sits in the heavens. God is the one that sits above all. And God is the one that sees all. And He knows all things. Right? Daniel 4:34. Nebuchadnezzar said, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse number 35, Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? See, that's whose hand you're in. So when the Bible says everything there is a season, right? There is. And a time to every purpose under heaven. God knows exactly where you're at, and God is in control of all things. So if He wants us to go through something, as much as we may not want to go through it, He knows best. And if we'll accept that and have that faith that we walk by faith and not by sight, then we'll understand the blessings of God. And we'll receive those blessings and God will take care of us. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Psalm 135:6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. So first and foremost, the passage that we're talking about speaks to God's sovereignty in the heaven and the earth, in all creation. Notice the Bible says under heaven because God sits above man and He governs all. He watches all over the earth, and the earth is His footstool. In all things, we must trust in the sovereignty of God. We must believe that He is. You know, I think about the times and seasons. Acts chapter 1, verse number 7. Remember that? In Acts chapter 1, verse number 7, and He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. You and I want to know the seasons. We want to know everything. You know, my children sometimes, they want to know every minute detail what is going to go down. And I say, son or daughter, don't worry about it. We got it figured out. You just follow. Well, we think we got it figured out anyway. But the point is that, hey, you know what? You don't need to know everything. Just trust us. All right? We know what we're doing. Just trust us. Right? So just tell your kids sometimes, because they don't need to know every detail. And that's what the Father says to us. Look, son, just trust us. Just trust me. Right? Just trust me that I know best. Amen? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's not for you to know those things. If you need to know, God will tell you. God will show you. Amen? But He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, our text verse here. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Number two, it shows us God has governed man by time. You and I are governed by time. And that's how God has governed man. When He created all things, He started time. And that's how He governs man. But God sits above time and outside of time. Time has no effect on God. God created time for man. But it has no effect on Him whatsoever, none. God is not controlled by time. He is not limited by time. Amen? Time was created out of eternity. And eternity is a line that runs all the way through, and then time comes up as a part of it, as just a blip on eternity. But eternity goes forever. And God knows from the beginning, from the end to the beginning, or the beginning to the end. God knows it all. Right? Because in eternity, time doesn't exist. So like when your loved ones go off, and I've seen people say things as when they die and they're with the Lord, you will know that time of if they die and 10 years later you die, but I don't believe they know any of it. I believe when they see you, it's like they just left. You understand that? When they see you, it's like, well, you just left. It doesn't affect them because they're in eternity. What a day it'll be, right? You know, this Psalm 90, verse number 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Man, that's about numbering your days, redeeming the time. Man, we don't have that much time, friend. I mean, some of us here, half of our life is over, maybe more. I mean, I'm 41. I don't know. I don't know how long God's going to give me. I hope He gives me till I'm 90 or 100. I want to be screaming on a microphone like this and preaching till I'm 100. I'd love to. But it'll take the providence of God to keep me around that long. But if He chooses to, He chooses to. If He takes me home, He takes me home. Amen. But, you know, we don't know how long we have. We need to make the most of it. Right? That's what he, when he says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Man is frail and is governed by time. Man, you know, the littlest thing can make us sick and kill us. Or the greatest disease can come upon us and God can heal us. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care what it is. You could have triple bypass surgery. You could have all those things. You could have all this heart attack, everything, and God can give you, extend your life. And defy all the odds and extend your life. Right? Our days are numbered, though, just as the hairs of all our head are numbered. God has given to man that portion of duration called time, the space in which all the operations of nature, of animals, of intellectual beings are carried on. But while nature is steady in its course and animals faithful in their instincts, man devotes it to a great variety of purposes. But very frequently to that for which God never made time, space, or opportunity. And all we can say when an evil deed is done is there was a time in which it was done, though God never made it for that purpose. To everything there is a season, right? A set, determined time. When everything shall come into being. How long it shall continue and in what circumstances. All things that have been, are, or shall be were foreordained by God. And he has determined the times before appointed for their being, duration, and end. Which times and seasons he has in his own power. There was a determined time for the whole universe and for all persons and things in it. A settled, fixed moment for the world to come into being. For it did not exist from everlasting, nor of itself, nor was formed by the fortuitous concourse of atoms, but by the wisdom and power of God. Nor could it exist sooner or later than it did. It appeared when it was the will of God that it should. In the beginning he created it, and he has fixed the time of its duration and end. For it shall not continue always, but have an end. Which when it will be, he only knows. So there's a determined time for the rise, height, dissension of states and kingdoms in it. God governs that man by time. And there's an appointed end. James chapter 4, verse number 13. You know, we're thinking about to everything there is a season, right? James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then vanisheth away. Right? For a little time. What is your life? It is even a vapor. Just a puff and it's gone. Some of you are 20 years old, 25 years old. And you're thinking, man, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I'm going to live for a long time. You don't know that. I hope so. I pray that that's the case. But we don't know that for sure. That's why it's important that we do all that we can for the Lord and that we leave our mark on this life as a child of God. That we leave a good testimony behind us. Right? It's important. Right? For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Man, well, you have this short time. Your life is a vapor. If you know to do right and you're not doing it, it is sin. Do you understand that? And this is given in the context of time, that you only have a certain amount of time and you don't know what that is. And you can't live with, you can't borrow tomorrow's troubles for today, but accomplish what you should accomplish today. Right? While it is still day. While you still have time. While you still have breath. While you still have life inside. Life inside. She's staring right at me. It's funny. While you still have life inside of you. Right? Then do all that you can do for the glory of God. Man, don't waste a single day. All our days ought to be productive. Now, they're not always, everything there is a season, so they're not always going to be run, 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 go, go, go. You know, that's one thing. It was hard for me yesterday. I ran so much for 3 days straight, and I was like, man, I need to do a bunch of stuff. And I had to accept the fact that, no, you really don't. You need to just kind of relax a little bit and just take it easy and get some stuff done, that you, some minor stuff around, and kind of just breathe. Right? Since I haven't seen my wife and kids for 3 days, pretty much, it might be a good idea just to just relax a little bit. Get some stuff done around the house and just chill. Sometimes you have to do that. Amen? To everything, there is a season. It's not always go, 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 rush, 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 do, do, do. No, it's not. Sometimes it's just be still. Amen? There ought to be, our lives are super busy, but you know what? There ought to be a time where you just stay at home with your wife and your children, and you just spend some time with them. And you just throw away everything else and say, nope, I'm not doing that, I'm staying here. I'm busy doing all, yep, busy, go, go, yep, but right now, nope, I'm here. I've made this set determined time to do this. It needs to happen. It needs to happen. Because everything is a season. Wisdom sees the need and follows and obeys. Amen. It's important. Look, these years of their lives go fast. Then they're raised and they're gone. Right? They need us. Amen. Number three, I think. I don't know, I lost count. Jacob keeps track. Sometimes we believe certain seasons will last forever. Like right now. Like winter. Like we think it'll last forever. Right? Like winter's going to last till June 15th or something. Right? The Bible does say, what is your life? It is but a vapor, and all appears and vanishes away. But when you and I are in a trial or having a hardship, we think things will never pass. But they will always be this way. Sometimes you and I think that the present distress that we are in will last forever. The calamity that we are facing, the trial that we're facing, listen very closely, whatever trial you're in here. All of us have different trials. And we think in our minds, in our hearts, that they're going to last forever, but they're not. Because seasons will change, right? It will not always be the same. Things will change. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. They will change. Right? Hebrews 10:35. Turn there, please, because we've got a bunch of verses to go through here. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Listen now, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You know, sometimes sickness comes, and we think it'll tarry. And that every season will be like this, and it will never change. Right? Sometimes we think, you know, the present, you know, you might have a melancholy spirit about you, or depression, or some discouragement, or something like that, and you think sometimes it will never change. The circumstances you are in financially, or whatever it is, or physically, that it will never change. But it will change. Psalm 30, verse number 4. Says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. There is a time of weeping. We're going to talk about that. But you know what? It'll endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's not always going to be like that. Someday the sun's going to shine again, and it's going to change. But you've got to trust God through those dark times. That God will see you through those dark times. And we walk by faith when we can see nothing. Right? The trial, the heartache will end. The morning will come. The night and darkness will end. You'll not always feel the way you do. Sometimes, man, you get in stuck. You ever been that way? Man, you're in a rut. Usually it's your own fault, by the way. I know that because it's my fault when I do it. But usually it's our own fault. Sometimes circumstances, we let circumstances and things get to us. And then we start to dwell on those. And then we get those things stuck in our mind. And then we can't, and then we overthink them, right? And then we can't get out of it. We're in this vicious cycle of circular reasoning where we can't get out of it. And it's like this circle, and we don't think it's ever going to end. And the light's never going to shine again, and we're always going to be discouraged. Or we're always going to be in this present, or we're always going to be with this need, or we're always going to have this challenge. But it's not true, because the seasons do change, and God has a purpose for why He has you where He does right now. So you have to trust in God's providence. Trust that God is right about what He has done, and He's right about what He allows you to go through, and learn the lessons that God has for you through the season that you're in right now. Right? You'll not always feel that way. You'll always be gloomy or depressed. Sometimes we can break out of those things by getting a little bit of sun. Getting outside, going for a walk, breathing some air, getting out of the house. I don't care if it is cold. That cold air might do you some good. Just bundle up. Cover yourself. Go out there and get a walk in. Get some fresh air. Get some sun. You know what else does it? Do some work. I'll tell you what. You got a bad attitude like that? You're getting gloomy? Come on, let's go do something. Right? That physical exertion will get you out of that attitude real quick. You get something done, you take out some aggression on that, and get some work done. Right? Amen. That'll help. Good for you. Builds character. That's what my Uncle George used to say. It's good for you, son. It builds character. What's that? Go shovel some snow. That's what my Uncle George used to tell me. It's good for you, son. It builds character. Okay, Uncle George. Glad we're working on my character, Uncle George. He was right, though. He was right. He's a hard worker, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. Amen. It's like my dad, growing up, I never remember my dad not working. He's always got something to do. Always working. Right? That ought to be known by the children's father. They ought to know that they always work. Right? Always get something done, always working. You know, for other things too, but they're workers. They get stuff done. It's important. You know, I've got time to have a tummy whammy ache. Right? You gotta go to work. It's like I was over there at the Hy-Vee today, and I was over there, and this guy, his manager's telling me that nobody shows up for work. All these kids won't show up because of the weather. They always use excuses they won't show up at all. Because they don't want to work, that's why. Because they're pampered. They get hungry, they'll do something, though. Because that'll melt on the sidewalk. What do they do? Right? We have to be careful not to accept excuses from our children and expect results. Amen. You accept excuses from them now and don't expect results, they'll grow up with that character and they won't work hard. They'll give an excuse to their boss. That's why they can't get a job anywhere, because nobody ever told them, hey, get out there and do it. I remember when I was 19... and I was running I first started selling, and I was running a store. By the time I think I was 19 when I ran that store in Peoria. I remember my boss told me, he said, I was giving him all these excuses. He says, I try to care about your excuses. I just don't really care. Whoa. That's not working. He taught me a good lesson there. I try. He had a southern accent. I try to care about you. I try to care about tomorrow, Jason, but I just don't care about tomorrow. I care about today. He said, this is a today business, not tomorrow. You get it done today. Okay, boss. Yep. But to everything, there's a season, right? There's a time appointed. It'll end. Number four, we must exercise faith in the Lord through all seasons. Acts 20, verse number 18. Paul talked about this, Acts 20, verse 18. Paul illustrated this in his life perfectly. He lived it. Well, I wouldn't say perfectly. Only Jesus did it perfectly. But Paul did it a good job of it, I'll put it that way. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul said, listen, I have served through all seasons, through everything that has taken place. I have served the Lord. I have stayed faithful to God through it all, with humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me. Faith has to be exercised through all seasons. You know, we need some men that just won't quit. I've met too many pastors that just quit. I'm telling you, I've seen them. They all started before us and they're gone. They're gone. I'm serious. Like, I could give you a list of them that are, they're done. They packed it in, they gave it up, they walked away. And by God's grace, I'll die doing what God's called me to do. I won't. It's not my own strength. You try that, you'll get a whooping. Don't feel good either. But you know what? Too many people give up. When the season is tough, they're done. Right? They got no fight to them. And we're seeing a generation, I'm thinking to myself, man, I hope nobody invades America. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, are we in trouble? You just take a good look down the street. I just say, put the skinny jean little queers up front. I'll run the back from the roof. Just mow all them down first. Because they ain't going to fight anyway. They're going to give it all up. That's the generation that's going to sell this country down the river. I'm going to say that right now. That's the generation that's going to say, that guy has a gun. That's the kind of generation. Those are the kind that betray one another. I'm telling you, they are. That's why you got to raise your boys to be men. Amen. To be men. And teach ladies that they stand by their husbands through thick and thin. Through the trials of life. Raising five girls, they look, no, you stick by him. If he serves the Lord, if he's faithful, you stay and you do what's right. I don't care how hard it is. Amen. Women have to have just as much grit as men do. I'm going to read you some, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to show you some strong women. I'm going to read you some, show you in the Bible, obviously, but show you some, I'm going to show you some Baptist women in Baptist history. I'm going to show you some of these women, what they went through. And I want you women to think about it. Because you can make a lot of excuses when you don't have to, too. And you got to be careful that you're not making excuses and you don't have some toughness to you, too. We don't want you to be hard like a man, but these women weren't hard like a man. They were gentle, they were kind, they were loving. But they stood by their husbands. And they stood in thick or thin, and they were tough, and they were strong, and they fought. Amen. And they didn't give in, and they didn't give in either. They were tough women. They loved God. They saw the purpose. They got behind the vision. They caught the vision, and they served God faithfully. Amen. And they didn't think about quitting and running out and walking away when things got tough. But they stuck by and stuck through in many hardships. Those pioneer women, man, those frontier women, oh, those Baptist frontier women, oh my goodness, were they strong. I'm telling you, I read about them and I think, you know what? We don't expect enough out of our wives. I'm going to tell you that right now. This may not get me anything popular, but that's okay. I've never been popular anyway. Except if you're mad at somebody, then I'm popular. But you know, some of those, they had seasons where things were just, I mean, think about Isaac McCoy's wife that buried like 8 children while her husband was gone. Right? And I mean, you know, their living conditions were not like the castles that we live in. Right? You want to be a lady driving? You say, I don't know if I want a lady driving to church. Well, let me tell you about a lady driving canoeing. 9 months pregnant, having the baby, popping it out, sticking it on her arm, and canoeing all the way down to the fort. Through mosquito-infested, Indian-infested territory. Boom. I was kidding. Right? And she did it. Most, and definitely most skinny jean men here in America wouldn't do it. But she did it. And she's not the only one. That's not unusual. Right? Only they did it like on horseback and on canoes and like freezing and no shelter, no coverage. What's that? I didn't hear what you said. No cell phone, yeah. I'm not saying put yourself in danger to prove you're tough. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if you have to, you can. You'd be surprised what you can do when you want to. You bet. Faith must be exercised through all seasons, times of good as well as times of evil, times of plenty and times of little. Philippians 4:10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul knew because he went through it. He had much and he had little. Right? And he learned it. We learn through education and experience, right? After we're saved, we learn godliness by the witness of the Holy Ghost. We are commanded to add godliness to brotherly kindness. But we have to believe God through all seasons. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Faith in all seasons. Right? John chapter 9, verse number 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There is a season of work that the Lord gives us. There are duties to perform that we must perform. We sometimes wish all the days would stay the same and that we could just abound all the time, but that's not the case. There's times that the money will flow better. There's seasons where it does not. There are seasons of calmness and no strife, and there are seasons of challenges. There are valleys and there are mountaintops. Sometimes we think we should always be on the mountaintop, but life isn't like that. So what are the seasons of this life? Number one, there is a time to be born and a time to die. You know, what is life? What is your life but a vapor? You know what? How many have we seen carried from the womb to the tomb, from the birth to the burial? And what a shortcut hath the longest life, liver from the grave of the womb to the womb of the grave. Men chop into the earth before they are aware many times, like as he that walks in a field covered with snow falls suddenly into a clay pit. From the womb to the tomb, we are born to die. For it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is a time when a man is born, and there's a time when he will die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up, the Bible says, that which is planted. In the point of good husbandry, fit seasons are to be observed, or else little increases can be expected. God also, the great vine dresser, plants and plucks up more churches or particular persons at his pleasure. God plants, God plucks up that which is planted. This also speaks of wisdom in recognizing the appointed times of something. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Remember, you are in the planting time of your life, and what you sow, you shall surely reap. Sow wisely. If you do not sow good seed in your life, you may never have the opportunity to do so later. There are things that are fit for a young man to do now that he will not be able to do later. Young people, remember this. You have wide possibilities before you of molding your characters into beauty and purity, holiness and strength. You have got no past or next to none written all over, which it is hard to erase. you have substantially a clean sheet on which to write what you like. Do you understand that? None of you, you young, none of you have a checkered past that you have to, full of regrets that you have to live with. Do you understand that? So wisely choose how you sow and what you sow. You don't have to live with the regrets that your parents live with. You don't have to. You don't have to wake up every day thinking about the things or having them occur to you, the things that you went through in life. The mistakes that you made. The defiling things of your mind that you placed into your mind that you can never get out. You don't have to do that. You don't have to. You can live clean, holy. You don't have to defile your mind or your heart. You don't have to burn images that will never be erased. You don't have to battle that in the later years of your life when you want to have pure thoughts, clean and holy thoughts, and the evilness invades your mind and Satan uses it against you and throws those fiery darts at you and you think about the things that you should never think about and things that happen. You don't have to do that. You don't have to ever do that. Nope. You'll have some bad thoughts, yes, but they won't grow. A time to kill and a time to heal. One man said this way, a time to butcher livestock, execute criminals. Protect your family from intruders. Right? There is. There's a time to kill. There is. You know, Exodus chapter 22, turn there. Verse number 2, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. But if in the middle of the night he breaks into your house, and you end the threat, Bible says no blood is to be shed for that. Right? A time to kill, to cut off corrupt members by the sword of justice or of war. Civil government has a duty to execute evil people. They do have that. Murders, cold-blooded murders. Right? There is a cruel mercy, saith one. There's a pious cruelty, saith another, but cursed is he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed is he that keepeth back his sword from blood. But that soldier can never answer it before God that striketh not more as a justice of peace than as a soldier of fortune. There's a time to kill. Sometimes government must justly put to death murders. Solomon judged this rightfully as a king. Self-defense, there's a time for such things that God has ordained that when man sheds blood in cold-blooded murder, so shall his blood be shed. Right? Because when swiftness and judgment is not executed, what happens? The sons of men, what? Set their heart to do evil. Mm-hmm. What happened? Why? Okay, what do you think is going on in London? All these Muslims, and they don't have guns, now they're knifing people and they're killing people in the streets. All these refugees that are coming through there, they're killing people over there. You know why? Because they're not afraid. Let me tell you something. You hang that sucker high from the tallest tree right there, probably the pole in London. Hang him right there and leave his head there for a leave him hanging there for a while. So that's rough. Well, sure it is. That's why men are supposed to run the world, not women. Mm-hmm. This is not very nice, is it? Yeah, it is. It's called Bible. Read it. You'll see it. You know why? Because when swiftness in executing that judgment right there, and that man hangs like that, how many more do you think those guys are going to go out there and start knifing people and raping women like they're doing? What do you do to them? You put them to death. You execute them right there. You try them, and you execute them. Civil government's duty. Public hanging. Done. And it don't cost anything but a rope. It's real cheap. It's not that expensive at all. And cut him down with the knife he used to gut them with. Throw his body in the grave. Is that too harsh, or is that just real manhood? Guarantee it stopped. You know why they don't do it here? Because they'll get a bullet in their head, they do it here. Right? You come looking to rape one of my wife and daughters, you got it, buddy. That threat will be ended real quick. That's a promise. That's a promise. Is that too harsh? No, that's called manhood. You take what's mine, you're going to be done. You touch what's mine, you're done. Mm-hmm. That's the time to kill. It's there. It's the way it goes. It's the way God intended. Guess what? Then people don't kill people no more. Right? Like that one guy said, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Right? Right? That's why they don't do that here. And that's why they want to take your guns away, so you can't defend yourself. So somebody can come in and do that to you. Oh, but the police will save us. You mean like they're doing over there? Putting their little pinky finger up, eating their tea and crumpets? Let me ask you a question. Who's guarding the queen? Who's guarding the queen? Yeah. Who's guarding them? Hey, who's guarding Bernie Sanders when he went to his last political speech thing? Men with guns. Who guards the President of the United States? Men with guns. You know, I don't see him calling for AR-15s to be taken from, and bump stocks to be taken from those guys. Oh, why? Oh, because they're protecting you. Why are you carrying around in a limousine called a beast that's bulletproof and bombproof and everything else proof? Right, but let's ban body armor, but your guys carry body armor. Oh, see? See how that works? Why? Well, so then you can be killed in the street, so then you beg them for help. That's why. See how that works? It's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? It's pretty simple. Here's what else is proven. When somebody shoots at you, when you shoot back, they don't like that. Armed robbers, rapers, murderers, criminals, they don't like people that fight back. When you fight back, they usually run. Or they die. Right, and there's a time to die. Right, they seek victims, that's right. That's why they don't do that here. That makes perfect sense to me. Why is that so? That's so logical, even educated idiots could figure that out. Even Harvard graduates could figure that out. Even people with bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and doctorates could even figure that out. They could even figure that out. It's so easy. Isn't that something? They could even figure that out. Time to kill. That's what it says. There's a time to heal. You know, sometimes it looks as if all is lost, and that but God restores life to a man and extends his days like Hezekiah. God healed him. Gave him 15 more years of his life. He was all but dead. And God's done that before for people. They look like they're not going to recover, and they're going to die. And then God heals them. Amen. To everything there is a season. The Bible says there's a time to break down and a time to build up. You know, I like what this one preacher said. He said, this whole world is nothing but a mass of mutabilities. Everything changes. That every man, every state, everything is a change whose spherical revolutions are some of longer, some are shorter. There is a perpetual ascending and descending of life and state that you're in. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. You know, there is a time for these things, as it goes ill or well with persons, as to their health, their estates, or their friends. And as it goes ill or well with kingdoms of the states. The Jews wept when they were in Babylon, and their mouths were filled with laughter when their captivity was returned. And as it goes ill or well with the church of God, then there are corruptions in doctrine and worship, a neglect of ordinances, declensions in faith and practice, few instances of conversion, and there are divisions and contentions. But you know, in this day and age, people think it's bad when you are of a sober mind and in a somber mood. Maybe you're not, you're in a serious mood. They think you ought to smile in every picture. Everything must be light and full of levity. Never to be serious. Never to be sober-minded. Never to have some challenges and going through some sorrow and some pain and some suffering. Not all the time are you going to smile. We should always have joy, but not all the time are you going to smile. Not every day is a day to laugh and a smile or to be light. There are days of heaviness where we must number our days and our actions and our steps. God allows trials to come into your life to sober you up. Right? A time to weep and a time to laugh. Only we must not invert the order, but weep with men that we may laugh with angels. Lay godly sorrow as a foundation of spiritual joy. Surely out of the eater comes meat, and out of the strong, sweet. Strong and sweet refreshments follow upon penitential performances. I like what he says here because it's so fitting. It's kind of crazy. These April showers bring on May flowers. We're hoping anyway. Tertullian said this, that he was born for no other purpose but to repent. But then he that truly repenteth is grieved for his sins, and then is glad of such a grief. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy, whereas those that will not in an evil time, especially when God calls to weeping and mourning. You know, God calls us sometimes to weeping and mourning. Do you understand that? Sometimes God calls you to weeping and mourning. Right? What's that? That's right, to soften us up. And even thrust men down, as it were, with a thump on the back. I've had the Lord do that. Drop me all the way down. Weep here, where there are weeping handkerchiefs in the hands of Christ, are like to have their eyes whipped out in hell and to howl with devils. The human heart must vent. There's a time to weep. The human heart must vent its emotions, and they must have appropriate expressions. Tears are no more virtuous than laughter. The moral quality lies further back than the mere expression. I've seen people weep with tears that meant nothing. But life is full of both. Man, thou pendulum, between a smile and a tear. There's a time to mourn and a time to laugh. We're almost done here, sort of, kind of. Psalm 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast helped me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? See, this is a time of mourning. Look what he says here. Thou hast turned me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. And not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. You know, the Bible says there's a time to dance. We're going to talk about dancing sometime soon. I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about dancing. Soon. But I like what John Trapp says here. This is a time to dance. Or skip as young cattle do at the springtime. Here is nothing for mixed immodest dancings. Can you believe back then, 400 years ago, 500 years ago, he was talking about this? What need people provoke themselves to that evil they so naturally incline to? Nemo said, the heathen orator, no sober man will offer to dance. Where there is dancing, there the devil is, saith the Father. And cannot men be merry unless they have the devil for their playfellow? Dancing, said another, is a circle whose center is the devil, but busily blowing up the fire of lust as in Herod, that old goat. He's right, too. But I'm going to show you that because a lot of people talk about that. Well, see, dancing's in the Bible. Yes, it is. And there's two different forms of it, and we're going to talk about that sometime. To express grief or sorrow, to grieve or to be sorrowful, there's a time of mourning. Sometimes people want you to stop mourning. But there's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time for joy. There's a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Bible says in verse number 5, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Amen. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. So what is he saying? There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. It's good for a man to keep somewhat by him, right? To save. There's a time to save. That's what it's talking about, a time to keep. There's a time to cast away, to cast bread upon the waters, upon those poor creatures that, pinched with penury, water their plants, feed upon tears. And although bread and other comforts cast upon such may seem cast down the waters because no hope of recompense, yet thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just, saith Christ as such, and blessed in the meanwhile. Amen. There's a time to rend and a time to sow. There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. That's a good lesson to learn, a very difficult one. Right? To know when to be, and there's so many verses that we could go through, we're not going to go through them though, that illustrates that. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. I could go through all those, but you know, the thing is that there is a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time to love God, obviously all the time, but there's a time to love others. But there's also a time to hate where you love God and you put him before all else. Right? And to abhor that which is evil. There's a time to hate. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Amen? There's a time of peace and there's a time of war. Amen? This shows you that there are seasons of all things. There are seasons of war. There are seasons of peace. There are seasons of love. There are seasons of keeping, of sowing. There are seasons of reaping. Right? To everything there is a season. There's a purpose. God has a purpose. There's a time where you'll be more at peace than you are at war. There's a time when challenges will come and you'll face those. There's a time when it'll be smooth sailing. The sun will be shining. Won't be a cloud in the sky and things will be going well. Enjoy those times, but live in what season God has placed you in. And accept the season as God's sovereign will for your life. And just continue upon that plain path of duty, that narrow way, and do right. And exercise faith. Because without faith it is impossible to please God. Remember, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To everything there is a purpose and a season under the heaven, amen, and God is in control of it all. They will not always be the same. They'll be different. Expecting the seasons never to change and everything to be the same will surely lead you to depression. But accepting the lot that God has given you and the challenges that face you and embracing them and depending on God to get you through them will encourage you and build your faith and grow you more than you've ever done in your life as a Christian. But you have to understand and accept the seasons that God has put in place. Father, Lord, thank you. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand these things, help them to sink into our hearts, help us to accept the providence of God in all things, and help us to trust you by faith in whatever challenges we're facing, and to lean on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.